Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, we're starting the show today by talking with you about quilts and fiber arts. We'll be visiting about the Wisconsin Quilts and Fiber Arts Museum with our guest, Emily Schlemowitz. She is the exhibit curator at the Wisconsin Museum of Quilts and Fiber Arts. It's located in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. So we'll be talking with them about their current exhibit, the Quarantine Quilt. It features the work of many quilters from Wisconsin and around the world, so I'm really looking forward to talking about that. We'll also talk about what makes quilting and fiber art special, and I hope you'll join in the conversation as we move along today. What draws you, perhaps, to quilts and fiber arts? Do you have a story or a question about the history of quilts and fiber arts? Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Emily Schlemowitz, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks so much for having us on.
So let's talk about the museum and its background first. What does the Wisconsin Museum of Quilts and Fibers set up to do?
So we're, as you mentioned, we're located in Cedarburg, Wisconsin, and we're on a old German farmstead. So it was built in about 1850s, and the museum converted the barn on the farmstead into a gallery space and museum. We opened in 2011, and we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary next year. So we're really excited about that, and it's just a really, it's a very beautiful space. Our mission is to exhibit, preserve, and educate about textiles in all its diversity. And as the curator, I try to take an expansive view of fiber art and curate exhibits that reflect the historic and contemporary range of the medium.
Yeah. Be interesting. Is the history of quilts and fibers a long one in Wisconsin?
Oh, yes. Yes. So actually the museum first got started, or the kernel for the idea for the museum began in 2001. And that came about because there was a project called the Wisconsin Quilt History Project, which was actually started in 1988 by a group of industrious women who wanted to document the untold stories of quilts in Wisconsin. So they had been documenting quilts for about 15 years, and really it's because quilts, you know, there's a lot of unknown makers when it comes to quilts. And so they wanted to uncover some of those makers. And they published a book called Stories in the Stitches in 2001. And that was, again, how we kind of got going on the idea for the museum. So, yes, the history of quilting in Wisconsin is very strong and rich.
Let's talk about fibers for just a minute. Can you share some examples of what fiber includes?
Yeah, so fiber art encompasses anything from lace making to embroidery to rug hooking to weaving. There's a long history of makers using natural and synthetic fibers to create works that can be both utilitarian, used in the home, or phenomenal works of art.
And, you know, I think there are people who may not be familiar with what fiber art looks like either. Can you describe it for us?
Yeah, so fiber, it's a very tactile medium, obviously. You know, it's got a lot of texture. You want to touch it. It's something that maybe you keep close to your body. It can be clothing and garments. It can be the quilt on your bed. It can be lace that you maybe inherited from your grandmother. You know, it can really encompass a huge range of what we think of as textiles.
Yeah. Well, we'll give our listeners a chance to join in. By the way, you can ring in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I went on your website and looked at the – I haven't been there, so I wanted to make sure I knew what it looked like. And it's – that refurbished barn is really a cool looking place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's actually a barn within a barn. So the original barn is then encased in another barn, and between the walls are all of our, you know, electricity, everything that we needed to make it modern. But it's got the cathedral ceilings that you would identify with a barn. It still has some of the original beams. And so it's beautiful. It really, truly is. And a great place to show quilts because you really get this sense of, like, the presence of those quilts.
Yeah, I think you would. How did you wind up there anyway?
Oh, well, I started at the Kohler Art Center in Sheboygan. And during my time in Sheboygan, we did a fiber arts exhibition, a contemporary fiber arts exhibition, and I just got really interested in the medium. And so that's how I came to the Wisconsin Museum of Quilts and Fiber Arts. And I've been here for 2 years. And we have the next 2 years planned, so we're ahead of the game. So it's a really lovely place. It's a small place. We're a staff of three, and we're mostly volunteer-driven, member-driven, and there's just a really active community around the museum. So it's just a really wonderful place to immerse oneself.
Yeah, I would think so. How did the building itself happen to become available?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think the original owners had passed away, and the descendants wanted to give. You found out that the Wisconsin Quilt History Project was looking for a building, and they got really excited that the grounds and the barn could be used for a museum. So that's really how we got it. It was a 10-year project, as I mentioned, and it took a lot of ingenuity and resourcefulness on behalf of the founding mothers. We have a group of founding mothers who raised money for the project and really spearheaded the museum and what it looks like today. So good kudos to them. They did a phenomenal job, and it's really a wonderful place to visit.
Yeah. Let's talk about the history a little bit more of the quilts, the fibers themselves and the quilts. There have got to be a lot of great, interesting stories that are shared through these quilts and fibers in the museum. What are some of your favorite stories?
Oh, okay. Probably one of my favorite stories is about a quilt. It's a white work quilt, which means that it's all white. It's from about the 1830s, 1840s, and it's trapunto. Trapunto is a type of a stuffing technique, so it gives you a raised edge. And so it's a really beautiful work. It's in great condition. And how it came into the museum was it was dropped off at a family sharing resale shop with a note that said from Canada. And and the resale shop opened it up and realized, oh my gosh, this is a beautiful quilt. You know, we really should save this. And so they called the museum, and, you know, obviously we collect work. We have about 2,200 works in our collection of both quilts and fiber arts, and so we accepted it. And it was on view over the summer, and it's just it's an incredible example of trapunto and white work. So that's one of my favorites.
Do you have a chance to follow up? Like, I'd be interested, you know, if it was me, I'd probably try and get a hold of the people who sent the quilt and find out, what's the history of this quilt?
Yeah. So we have two historians, one on our board and one who now manages the quilt documentation. We do quilt documentation days twice a year. And I know both of them have been looking into what this quilt is and who are the makers. Did it really come from Canada? That's a question, right? And you know, stuff like that. So.
So, have you got an interesting story or two to tell about some of the quilts that you have on view?
Yeah, so our current exhibition is called The Quarantine Quilt, and it came out of our desire to encourage artists to keep creating while staying safely at home. The idea for a project came up in a staff meeting where we were discussing how even though we were closed, we can continue to engage our audience and create a sense of community. And my coworker, Devin McElrath, who's our education collection manager, said, why don't we do a quarantine quilt? And that was really how we got started. And so what began as an initial Facebook post where we put out the call for a 12 by 12 inch blocks became something so much more. So we've received over 500 blocks now. We just actually got another shipment in from London last week. It took a month to get here. And the themes really range. You know, it's family, community, the coronavirus, love, racial and social justice, healthcare workers. You know, really, it really reflects what's happening during this period and people's individual and also collective experiences. So one of the stories, One of the blocks that I really love one of the blocks I really love is a picture of a goldfinch, and she's a birder, and she was, you know, she's an avid birder, and she was, you know, she was really moved by what happened to Chris Cooper in Central Park. And so she was reflecting on her experience as a birder and his experiences as a birder. So that's one. And there are some people who made tributes to their family members who are healthcare workers. Those are always very, very moving. We have a block that was submitted by a 1.5-year-old, and her mom had her stamp paint her feet in paint and then made a butterfly with her feet together. So it's just a really beautiful, you know, beautiful expression of what people are experiencing.
Yeah. Emily Schlemowitz, our guest today. She's the exhibit curator at the Wisconsin Museum of Quilts and Fiber Arts in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Talking with her, we just talked a little about the quarantine quilt exhibit, but about the museum as well. Questions about quilting and fiber art. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Natalie Guyette, our producer today, Tyler Dinner, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at the quarantine quilt exhibit and talk about the museum of the Wisconsin Museum of Quilts and Fiber Arts, located in Cedarburg, Wisconsin, with its curator, Emily Schlemowitz, the exhibit curator at the museum. Questions or comments, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. We had an emailer wondering, how do archivists date quilts with unknown origins?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can date them. Well, there's a couple of resource books that are really helpful. One is by, I'm going to say, Robert Bishop. And so you can look up the quilt by its pattern, and that'll give you a kind of a sense of what you're looking at. But it's, you know, you can date it by the cloth and looking at that, but I'm actually not a specialist in that. But we do have a person on our board who helps us with dating and identifying patterns.
Let's take a call. Ann in Wanakee will give you a chance. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to call in because I love your idea of the quarantine quilt exhibit. I actually spent the first part of my quarantine making nearly 500 fabric masks and donating them to people and institutions. And I am making a crazy quilt from the scraps, and my Corona crazy quilt, I'm calling it. But that's kind of like my documentation, my experience. I'm planning to embroider the names of the institutions and the people that received the masks for me, just to kind of be my history at the time.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Come in, Emily.
Yeah, and that, you know, a lot of the blocks were made from scraps that people had, you know, were originally for masks for their friends and family, and then used the scraps for their block. So definitely connects to the quarantine quilt, and it seems like people are using a lot of their stashes. I imagine you have quite a stash to come up with 500 masks. So that's great. That's a really nice gesture.
Yeah, that's a wonderful gesture, and I love the idea of the crazy quilt. And are you going to share that a photo of that with us when you finish it? Oh, we lost Ann. We must have lost Ann. Well, thank you very much for that call. What a wonderful idea. Well, the quarantine quilt itself, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's actually several quilts, actually 27, 27 quilts. So we put out the call in March, and then we announced that we were going to do an exhibition. And so we asked our volunteers, who I said are very dedicated, and they answered the call to make these into quilts. And so in about June, they started making them, and there are now 27. So that's an incredible amount of work to do in 2 months. So it was really, really a phenomenal outpouring of support. And, you know, some of them are small, some of them are big. One of them is an incredibly impressive mask. This artist came to us and said, you know, almost in the beginning, she was like, we should make this into a giant mask. And so she took 49 blocks home, and came back and had sculpted it into a mask. So she asked her healthcare worker friends if they could donate scrubs. And so that's what the mask material is. And then she used the blocks to make the mask. So it really shows
something.
Like the ingenuity and resourcefulness of what's happening during this time, I think.
Oh, man, it does indeed. I saw the picture on your page, and it's pretty cool. Cal in Sugar Camp, Wisconsin. It's your turn. Hi, Cal.
Hi, good morning. This is very exciting that we have a quilt museum in Wisconsin. I was wondering what you do for collections management, since you use the barn for display. Where do you keep your collections, and are you able to climate control them? Because you said you had like 2,200 pieces. So collections management is kind of important, and I was curious about it.
Yeah, so we downstairs, so the barn has been retrofitted to be a modern building. And so downstairs is where we keep our collections storage. And we have a collections manager and also an advisory council who advises us on collections care and also what works come into the collection. And we do have climate control. We use archival boxes. We have a beautiful, you know, one of those library systems with the revolving shelves. And it's very much a modern facility. So,
wow,
yeah.
It's not, and that must have taken some money to put this together. So you must have were there major sponsors, or were there just a whole lot of people giving support?
Yeah, you know, it's really a grassroots organization. So a lot of people pitched in, both funding wise and work wise, and we added in the shelves about 2 years ago, so maybe 3 years now. So that we've continued to up our game, so to speak, in terms of collections care. And, you know, it's probably an evolving process in terms of, you know, right now we're looking at modernizing our lighting system. So, you know, it's a continual process, but something that we're very lucky, fortunate to have, you know, a group that are really dedicated to the museum.
So. Yeah, for sure. Carrie in Wisconsin Rapids, on to you now. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, I just have what I think is kind of a cute story. My grandmother, when it's not about a quarantine quilt, really, more about isolation, as the old farmers from years back at the turn of the century were isolated. And, of course, being a wife, she didn't have anything to do. So she would just save all of the old clothes and make quilts out of the old overalls, her crepe black dress, all of these ugly, muted or dark colors. And then she would give them to people as gifts, especially as some of the wedding gifts. And so we have in our family this perfect quilt. We always call it the ugly quilt. And it's just, it's the old farm clothes that has been cut up and sewn together with, she did put some orange yarn type thread in it, so that I suppose was supposed to make it beautiful. But then inside was, we're pretty sure it's like a heavy old wool blanket that she must have used for the interior. And besides being ugly, it's so heavy that you can't stand to have it on you.
Yeah, but yet, Carrie, you still have it. And there's a reason for that, I bet.
And my nephew, bless his heart, I contacted all of the relatives and I sent pictures and I said, you know, we're going to scale down and this has never been used that I know of. And my one nephew in Arizona said he wants it and he's going to hang it on his wall.
Oh, nice.
So we'll see if he really decides to do that.
Well, how big is this quilt? Is it like 10 by 10 or something, or is it?
It, I did put it on a full-size bed. And
okay.
It
covers the bed.
It does. And, you know, back in those days, especially on the poor farms, at least three people might be sleeping in the bed. So it was big enough to cover all of them.
Well, Carrie, that is a great story. Thank you so much for going. Any comment on that, Emily?
Yeah, I think Carrie brings up a really good point. You know, the history of quilting in Wisconsin and elsewhere is a story about women, right? Women use textiles historically to tell stories, to keep their families warm, to decorate their homes, to provide an heirloom for their children and their grandchildren, and to socialize. You know, we've all heard of the quilting bees. Essentially, that was a way for women to get together and talk about their weeks and give advice and provide each other recipes, and that's still going strong today, actually. You know, the quilting bee is the modern quilting bee is the guild, the quilting guilds, and those are ever present in Wisconsin right now. So, yeah, I love that story. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate it. But, you know, that brings to mind a question from me, actually. How do you receive quilts, or what is that process like if somebody had a quilt? I'm not talking about Carrie here, but about perhaps someone else with a quilt with a history, or what would they do in terms of contacting you?
Yeah, so we are still accepting works into our collection. Our collections manager, you can email. I think it's just collections@wiquiltmuseum.com. And as I said, it does go through a committee that decides whether or not to accept the work. But then if you also just want to document the quilt, if you're curious about the pattern, if you're curious about, you know, dating it, you can come to one of our quilt documentation days, and that happens twice a year, and that's with a couple of specialists who really know quilting and the history of quilting. And I believe they also offer that at the Great Wisconsin Quilt Show, which I think you guys were going to mention, but is also happening this week. Unfortunately, it's happening virtually this year, but, you know, typically it's in person, and that's normally the first week in September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll, and I want to mention that again before we're done today. But Carrie, again, thank you. And you can join in too. Question, comments, maybe a story to tell about a quilt or some fiber arts. I hope you will at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. This kind of goes along a little bit with Carrie's comment and some of the other comments we've received from Anna. Anna emailed with a few questions. One, how are traditional fiber art methods being incorporated into current day works?
Well, fiber arts is very much a living art. People are still making fiber art. They're very active in it. And, you know, they're still using traditional forms like weaving and lace making, as I mentioned, and quilting. And then they're innovating with the medium. So, you know, you see a lot of innovation happening around digital processes. So, you know, we've all heard of, you know, using the printer to print fabric. So that's one way. You can send it out to places like Spoonflower. Spoonflower is a digital printing textile company. So that's one of the ways. I also think that fiber art is sort of expanding in this incredible way. There's people who are exploring installation art with fiber, which we're going to be focusing on in our spring exhibition of next year. And, you know, it's very much an alive medium. So it's a really exciting time to be a fiber arts curator and to really explore all those avenues.
Yeah. Anna also wondered if there are any fiber art techniques that have been lost to current artists.
That's a good question. I mean, I'm sure there are. I wouldn't say that necessarily they've been lost. They've maybe been modified. You know, technology has modified things. So that's what I would say, modified, maybe not lost.
Maybe not lost, but modified. All right. Well, what are some differences or similarities you've seen between some of the earlier Wisconsin quilt makers, for example, and the current ones?
Let's see. Well, you know, there's a lot of artists who are doing art quilts, which are like pictorials, you know, so more influenced by like a painterly style. So they're thinking about, you know, how they can capture a scene in fiber. And so I would say that's definitely a new genre of fiber. And, you know, and that's, again, looking maybe at painters, maybe at, you know, quilts, traditional quilts. There's an artist who we're going to have in next year who's Victoria Finley Wolf, and she really thinks about traditions made modern. So she's really influenced by the double wedding ring, which is a very complicated pattern that was really popular in the 1930s. And to sort of simplify the double wedding ring, she created a series of templates that allows her to like easily cut out arcs in textile. So that's one way that she's kind of modernizing the medium, you know, making it simpler through templates, and that's something that you see quite a bit, actually.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
And I love some of the landscape quilts that have been made are just gorgeous.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
I mean, unbelievable. And that was always one of the kind of the fun things about the Great Wisconsin Quilt Show. I think it runs September 10th through the 12th. As you say, they're going totally virtual this year, but people can sign up for classes at quiltshow.com if you want to get involved in that, at least virtually. Ellen in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Ellen.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited to share with you, I'm catching your program a bit late, but exciting to share with you that September is National Sewing Month. So your broadcast is quite timely in terms of sewing and quilting.
Well, that is cool. Did you have, did you know that, Emily, and have that in mind?
You know, I didn't. I should. But thank you. Thank you for sharing, Ellen. Yes.
I don't think Jill Nadeau or Natalie Guyette knew that either. Well, maybe they did, and they just didn't tell me. Or maybe they told me, and I forgot. I don't know. Emily, thanks. It's September. It's National Sewing Month. Well, let's go to Chuck in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, folks. Thank you for taking the call. Say, I wonder, I've got a very, very old quilting frame that's been stored in my garage. I found it in an old barn. I wonder if you've had anybody around that would be interested in it, or if there's a local number I could call for a quilting club or something like that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, if you wanted, you could email our collections manager, collections@wiquiltmuseum.com, and you could ask her if she would be interested. Just send a picture along with it. And if not, she would probably put you in touch with a local historical museum, because chances are, if we don't want it, they would probably take it. So that's one way to give it away.
That would be, that'd be really nice, Chuck. Is it collections with an S? collections@wi.com?
Yes. Collections. So
with an S. Okay. So there you go, Chuck. collections@wi.com.
collections@wiquiltmuseum.com.
Oh, wiquiltmuseum.com. I'm writing this down. So questions@wiquiltmuseum.com. There. I think I've got it right. Chuck, good luck. Thank you. So, and please do follow up on that, because there might well be people, if not at the museum, they would be able to help you, you know, place it perhaps even somewhere in your area, Wisconsin Dells area.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Nancy in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I'm a person who's always been greatly interested in the old-fashioned Victorian crazy quilt, which on every seam had those very elaborate embroidery stitches. And I have made several of those quilts, but I'm not up to doing all that embroidery. And I'm wondering if I use a sewing machine that has those embroidery stitches built right into it, will those quilts in the future be deemed to have any value at all, or will they be looked upon as a crass material, crass workmanship, because everything was not done by hand?
Huh. Interesting. Emily, what do you think?
Oh, you know, I feel like you should do what, you know, what you can, and if you enjoy it, it'll have value. I don't know. Of course, embroidery, I think you should just use the machine, and I don't know that it would lessen the value at all. You know, I think you're making it, and that has value, and so, yeah.
Go ahead and do it if that's what you want to do, Nancy. I imagine if she wrote to your collections person, they may have a comment about the value of it, but or not.
Yeah, I mean, we actually don't, like, put a value, like an appraisal value. We don't give appraisals to the public, but
but in general, if a person, they may have a comment on that sort of the use of hand versus sewing machine, they might have a comment on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's at collections@wiquiltmuseum.com if you want to check in with them too, Nancy. But I think you're right, Emily. I think, hey, if you want to use a sewing machine, I would just go ahead and use a sewing machine and not worry about it. Sarah in Zion, Illinois, it's your turn. Hi, Sarah.
Thank you. I have these cloth flowers that I cut off of an antique pillow that belonged to my grandmother, who grew up in Walworth County, who lived in Walworth County her whole life. And I've just been holding on to them. I mean, they're extremely old, and they're really beautiful. And I want to give them to some quilter. I'm hoping that some quilter would be interested in them. And but I you know, I kind of want to find the right person. Do you have any suggestions?
I would look at your local quilting guilds. I know there's quite a few quilting guilds in Illinois, and also in Wisconsin, if you wanted to give them to someone in the state around Walworth County. But I would start there, because I think they are very well connected to quilters in general. If they're not in the guild, they know they have friends outside of the guild. And so, maybe they would really know who might be interested.
So there you go, Sarah. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You've been doing Friday virtual chats every week at the museum. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah. So, again, that came out of the same conversation about the quarantine quilt. And we were really thinking about how we're going to maintain our community, even though we're closed. And so almost since the beginning, we have been offering virtual programming. It happens every Friday at noon, and sometimes it's a panel of artists, of makers. Sometimes it's a studio visit with an artist, and sometimes it's talking about something related to the history of quilts. This coming Friday, we'll be talking about how the quarantine is affecting the arts in the state. So we'll be interviewing someone from the from Arts Wisconsin, and she'll be talking about a study that she did on, you know, the state of the arts in Wisconsin. But then the one after that is with a quilter, and we're going to do a studio visit with her. So that happens now biweekly, so it's every other Friday. And you can check out our Facebook page. That'll have the current information, or you can look on our website. And they're normally live streamed on Facebook or via Zoom. So either method, you can join us. And then we archive them on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. We now have a YouTube channel. The museum got one during this time. And so, yeah, it's been a really wonderful way to connect with people. And we receive about 50 to 75 listeners every Friday, which I think is quite good. So
yeah, very good. And again, as a reminder, how do people get in touch about your chats and your workshops?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, wiquiltmuseum.com, and that'll have information about the programming, the Zoom programming, and also we offer educational classes throughout the year. Again, that'll also have information about collections and, think if you're interested in reaching out to our collections manager about donating something, that'll be on there as well. You can also check out our Facebook page or our Instagram, and all of those methods will get you to programming and education.
Wow, there's a lot there, Emily. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today during National Sewing Month. Jill Nadeau says every month is sewing month at her house. But it's been fun talking with you, and I'm going to get over to Cedarburg and take a look at your museum at some point. It sounds like a wonderful place. And again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Emily Schlemowitz is the museum curator. And the official title is the Wisconsin Museum of Quilts and Fiber Arts, located in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. And get online, go to their website and take a look at what they've got. And they've got a lot. Well, it's still summer. Winter's approaching. You're probably going to need a quilt or two, maybe. We will once we get that colder weather come by. And the weather guys, as a matter of fact, are coming up next, and they're going to be talking not so much about the cold, but instead about hurricanes, hot temperatures, and a whole lot more, and take your questions. Our weather guys next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.